translate through me, reach those you want to reach this morning. Amen. Fear or faith? So let's have a little bit of a, I know we had a bit of a quiz last week, but let's continue that little bit of a quiz theme. I'm going to start you with an easy one. Who knows what agoraphobia is? Claustrophobia is closed spaces. Agoraphobia is wide open spaces. Right, okay. Second one, cynophobia. That's got you thinking. Wolf. I'll give you a clue. Fear of dogs. There you go. Acrophobia. No. Acrophobia. Right, anybody who's gone up a ladder would probably have this. Fear of heights. This one, people up here get on a regular basis. Glossophobia. Fear of public speaking. Now, you'll have to forgive some of these pronunciations. Atishophobia is the... No, it's not the fear of sneezing, as though it sounds like it, yeah. Is the fear of failure. Well, that could be relevant in today. Anthropophobia is the fear of people. Again, something that might be relevant in today's sermon. And xenophobia, people must have known what xenophobia is. The learned preacher there does. Fear of foreigners, fear of the unknown. I say these because obviously this sermon is about fear, and we all have fears in our lives. Throughout our lives, we've suffered with fears. When we were a child, there was the bogeyman and the monsters under the bed. Yeah? When we went to our first school and we were meeting complete strangers, a bit of xenophobia there, and we were struggling with it, and our parents reassured us. When we went to exam time, or when we went to our first job, or a different job even, when we met our first true love, when we struggled with our finances, the fears that are injecting us, and maybe purchasing a new home, or moving from one home to another, the stress that causes, and the fears that causes, or illnesses in the family and strangers themselves. We all suffer with fears, but how many of us, at the time we struggled with those fears, had the faith to pray to God to relieve them? So what's that got to do with today's story? So, as Rick so kindly took part of my sermon this morning and reminded you, that about the chapter we're missing between chapter 12 and 14. Moses has sent 12 people out on a mission to scout. Yeah? And one member each of the 12 tribes. So they were chosen, and they might have had acrophobia or xenophobia going into the unknown, into Canaan, to scout and report back. Israelites waiting in the desert, waiting for the word in Paran, waiting for them to come back to speak to them. When they came back, they started eulogizing about a land of milk and honey, a utopia, something that it would be fantastic to live into, one of these wonderful countries. They would have everything. Bear in mind, they'd just been starved for 40 years in the desert, so anything would seem a little bit better. Always an upgrade. But then came the grumbles. And like last week and Rick said, it's an inbuilt thing to grumble. We all grumble, right? And why were they grumbling? Because 10 of the people told them about what was there. The well-established armies, the strong men, the walls that surrounded them, the protection that they had, and the immense mission impossible task that they would face to get this land. So they start grumbling. And these words result in thanatophobia. Thanatophobia is the fear of dying, apparently. And maybe that's the fear that probably possessed them the most, knowing that they were going to go into a land that basically they could get killed because they're going to have to fight for this land. These people are not going to give this land of milk and honey up very easily. These well-armed, well-practiced troops. So the grumbles start, and like any grumbles, like a snowball going down a hill, it turns into a bigger snowball and then into an avalanche. And so the amount of grumbling that suddenly in the mass mob of the crowd suddenly came. And the cry came, "We were better off in Egypt, let's go back there." Really? They were better off as slaves? The fear is so strong that they feel as though they were better off as slaves? That's some fear. Fear is a great motivator. And it seems that God is making this really hard on Moses, or the people are making it really hard on Moses, because of their default mechanism to go into fear mode. All the miracles have gone. They've gone to the back of the mind. The survival mode has kicked in. Stronger motives have taken over. But bear in mind, some generations have not seen some of these miracles. They didn't see coming out of Egypt. They didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. They didn't see those major miracles. They're young. They're second generation, third generation. They've not seen so many miracles. So they're probably not quite understanding it and get caught up with the grumbling, a crescendo of dissent, a loss of faith. It consumes the camp. They have forgotten God's promise to Abraham. So what was the reaction? How did Moses and Aaron calm this? Well, some nations today use force. They send in the troops, and some people might get seriously injured or hurt as a result. Some nations, dissenters, just disappear off the face of the earth. Fortunately, we don't live in one of those countries, but some nations, that's how they would deal with dissenters. And some nations, like ours, provide a freedom of speech, but as a result of the chaos and uncertainty, people then take over to pursue their own agendas and get their own fame and notoriety as a result, which results in all sorts of confusion, like we had recently within the riots. No, Moses and Aaron didn't do that. Oddly, they fell face down, prostrate on the floor, in front of everyone. Why? Why fall prostrate on the floor? Is it to show God that it's them, not us? Is it to submit to the madding crowd? Is it to let others speak? Or is it that they're so just given up with despair? Whatever it was, something sprinkled and sparked in Joshua and Caleb. Whether it was they felt ashamed of what the crowd was doing, or whether they felt sad for Moses and Aaron, or they sensed that God wanted them to stand up and be counted and take a lead. Hopefully it was the last one, because they were the ones that had the voices of faith. They tore off their clothes, a sign of, "We don't deserve to be here with you because you're not worthy to God." A disappointing sign, a sign of grief of what was being said, that they think that the anger and the lack of faith being shown by the people showed bare in front of the crowd. They show the crowd the conviction and the faith that they have in God's cause, and remind them of what God has promised. Telling the crowd about the star prize that they could win, the land of milk and honey, and what they could, if they had the faith, do and finish the job, because God would be there and God would protect them. Reminding the people, the crowd that had been to go back to Egypt, to stay steadfast in faith and not to give in to their fears. However, a large portion of the crowd did not want to listen, because as we know, fear is a great motivator. God is myth now. He next talks to Moses, and he talks about sending a plague down on the people because he's really fed up of their lack of faith, their lack of following him and believing in him. So he's going to eradicate them and start again. This is where Moses' faith kicks in. Moses, in the most diplomatic way, I mean, it can't be easy to be diplomatic with God, but diplomacy ruled as Moses reminded God of the potential disastrous consequences this could bring. He pleads for their forgiveness once again, explaining that Israel would look weak as their God trusts and protects them, but if he wipes them out, people are going to say, well, your God doesn't even like you. And it would make the position of the Israelites somewhat vulnerable. And he also reminds God that the younger generation are not guilty for the sins of the elders, for their foolishness of those people who are leading, let's go back to Egypt. So somehow Moses calms God down, amazingly. And from God's first drastic reaction to some lesser compromise of punishment. So the main dissenters and the unbelievers will perish and not see the promised land, but the Israelites would still be strong and protected by God. So a filtered down discipline and punishment is meted out to the guilty only. Sin now has its consequences. So God turns them back around and marches them away from the promised land. A sort of, here's what you could have won, but because you dissented, no way. So they've got and assigned themselves to more years wandering in the desert. 40 years and maybe another 40 years more. But we'll find out later in Numbers how much longer they had to endure the stresses of the desert. So what does this teach us, this lesson today? Well, firstly, fear is our worst enemy. That's straightforward. Giving in to fears is trusting in a secular world that takes us away from our Creator. We lose touch. We lose focus. We lose rationality. We give in to the xenophobic fear of the unknown and of the strangers. Second lesson here is a lack of faith. If we give in to this xenophobia, this fear, we lose our faith in our Creator, our God. If we give in to doubt, if we give in to unbelief, we have apostasy, a denial of faith or religion, a denial of God, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Like those in today's reading, do we want to be punished for our sins? And then there's the lesson of forgiveness here. As Moses pleaded with God in his diplomatic conversations, the good news is that maybe we haven't got a Moses, but we have people, examples and everything, who show us the way. We have the Bible that shows us the way. We can learn how to control our fears. But most of all, we have Jesus. We can turn our fear and our lack of faith and the things that remove us from God through Jesus. Through his death for us all on the cross, you can be saved if you give up your sin to him. and take up again your journey of faith. You might not spend years in the desert, but we all will be in a desert at times, a desert in our faith, a desert in our lives. We will come across times when we will want to succumb to fear. And remember this story today, this story about the people who gave in to fear, how Moses reminded them, how Joshua and Aaron reminded them, and Caleb, of the faith and the love and the strength of God, and that everything can be forgiven through God if you do it through Jesus. So we need to learn to confess and be invited back through the gate by an always forgiving Jesus. The only thing to fear is fear itself. So don't suffer from apostasy. Remember today's reading. Lose the fear and find the faith. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will see us and be with us the rest of our life's journey. Amen.